Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America and Canada and the world, for that matter, at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Dr. Bernard Rimland, and we're going to be talking about autism. And Dr. Rimland heads an institute that deals with autism. He's been at this for many years. He's one of the world's leading authorities on autism. And not only on the subject, but on the treatment of autism. And you have to understand that this condition is treatable if you know how to do it. And many of the children have dramatically improved. In fact, Dr. Rimland, why don't you tell our listeners your story of how you got interested in this and what you have learned in your years of working with autism?
Well, let's see. Do I have about 6 or 7 hours?
Well, no, but if you could just get that okay. Down to 30 words or less. No, okay. Go right ahead, sir.
Oh, you want the short version.
Right.
Okay. Well, actually, my autistic son was born in 1956. I was 3 years beyond my PhD in psychology at the time and never heard of autism. Our pediatrician, who'd been in practice for 35 years, had never heard of autism or seen such a child. It was extremely rare. In those days, probably around one child per 10,000 or less. The most recent statistics, and this comes from the Academy of Pediatrics, which for a long time denied that there was a epidemic of autism, now they acknowledge 166 cases per 10,000. It's just quite remarkable. One child in 166, I should say, which is like 60 per 10,000. That's a huge, huge increase. Anyway, I began reading literature at the time, and I found that all the textbooks said that it was an emotional disorder caused by bad mothering. I wanted to know why they believed that. I began to investigate. I started studying it. I continued to study it for the following 44 years, and have come to some very different conclusions than what the medical establishment would have people believe. For one thing, the medical establishment believes that autism is essentially untreatable biomedically, unless you just give them drugs to quiet them down. And we have found, we have teams of researchers working with us, that there are biomedical treatments, certain vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids, and other techniques for bringing a good number of the children to be cured, to be recovered. That's a heresy as far as the medical establishment is concerned. But we can demonstrate it, have demonstrated it.
Well, now, of course, when we talk about autism, aren't there two types? One, autistic children at birth, and then a second group that develops later in life?
Yes. There are essentially two types. There's a large variety of causes and types within those two types. The two general types, is, as you say, the early onset case. Like my son, that was the only kind of that was seen in the 1950s, 60s, and early 70s. Now we have what is called regressive autism, where the kids are normal for about a year and a half, and during the second year of life they get autistic. That's called regressive or late onset autism.
And we never used to see that, did we?
It was extremely rare. It was extremely rare.
And of course now it's becoming increasingly more
common.
There are at
least 4 or 5 of those kinds of autistic kids nowadays compared to the early onset cases.
And what a difficult time it is for the family that is faced with this. And of course the thing is that it's a question that some of this certainly would be preventable. And I believe, and I think Dr. Rimland would agree, that we're not getting the truth from the medical establishment. We'll be back here in just a moment to discuss this in great detail. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Bernard Rimland. We're talking about autism. We're talking about this tragic situation. Could you describe for our listeners what the symptoms of autism are and why, how the child is different in their responses than normal children?
Well, the word autism stems from the word from like autos, like automatic, and meaning that the child does not have a sense of self. They are sort of discrete from the entire world around them. They have no social or very little social perception. They are considered autistic because they were thought originally to be in a dream world. A world of their own. You can't talk with them, not very effectively. You can't communicate. They can't communicate with you. They're sort of a little like they've got an autopilot, and they look perfectly normal. They're very handsome and attractive kids by and large, but their behavior, either starting at infancy, at birth, like my son, or more recently, starting in the second year of life, they begin to lose whatever speech they have. They lose eye contact. They don't look at people. They don't seem to appreciate language anymore. They stop talking if they ever started talking. And they just sort of drift off and start flapping their hands and maybe hitting themselves or running away, doing all kinds of strange things because they have something wrong with their brain functioning that no one understands very well. That just keeps them from being normal children.
Well, I know I was reading something in a recent article in New York Times. New York Times has had several articles recently, and one of them was, well, don't try to change these children. Just accept them as they are. How would you respond if somebody were to say that? You know, because you deal with this all the time. This idea, oh, don't try to change them at all. Don't try to treat them. Just accept them.
Well, that's really quite a silly idea. There are some people who have what is considered to be high-functioning autism. They can speak, sometimes even can speak precociously, but they do lack the social skills, which are a very important feature or symptom of autism. And those individuals are the ones that write those kinds of letters to the New York Times and elsewhere. So we like it the way we are. Don't try to change us. And our answer to that is that autism is a disability. If you are not disabled, you are not autistic. So stop talking about autism. You know, there are a few individuals like that who get a lot of attention, who don't feel that autism should be treated, but they are just very small and very strident and very...
Hold that number, that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Bernard Rimland, who heads the Autism Research Organization, and he's been at this for, 40 years now?
About 44, 45.
All right, fine. So you certainly had a lot of experience. And I think the first of all, let's talk a little bit about the perceived cause of autism, and it may be multiple faceted, and then we'll talk about treatment. So what is the cause of this? Why have we had such a dramatic increase from 1 in 10,000 down to 1 in, 170, 165, something like that?
Children? Well, there are undoubtedly many causes of autism, depending on the individual biochemistry and genetics of a particular child. The cause of the epidemic, as far as I and many other people are concerned, however, is the huge number of vaccines that are now given to children. When my youngster was born, there were three vaccines that were given in infancy, the DPT shot, diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus. Now the typical child in California gets 33 vaccines before the age of before they enter school. It's a huge increase, and the reason for the increase is that the drug companies make a lot of money off of these vaccines. They keep inventing new vaccines, knowing that everyone just says, "Oh, vaccines are wonderful; they prevent the disease," and they keep piling up more and more and more vaccines, many of which contain mercury. Now, a very important finding is that, and I knew about this way back in the 1960s, I first looked into it, the symptoms of mercury poisoning in children are the same as the symptoms of autism. They lose contact with the world around them, they begin to self-stimulate, they have, it affects boys four times as often as girls, mercury poisoning does. There's just a whole variety of symptoms that autism and mercury poisoning have in common.
All right, and of course, the thing is that in the vaccines, there was thimerosal. They kept it there for years and years. When people are complaining, supposedly they've finally taken it out of the vaccines. At least they claim they have, at least here in the United States, but they're not going to take it out in the rest of the world. But what I think is so unconscionable, by conceding the fact that they wanted to take out of childhood vaccines, they deceived the parents because they've left it in the influenza vaccine, and they're encouraging every parent, of course, if you have a six-month-old child, to get that influenza vaccine. Oh, boy, and we finally got a supply here, and they're doing everything they can to sell this vaccine for the vaccine companies, manipulating the public, and they know that the terrible effects. Some of the people know exactly what's going on, don't they?
They certainly do. It's rather interesting that when the Firestone tires were found to be defective a few years ago, they took them off the market. You know, they just said their people are being killed with these auto accidents caused by the faulty tires. Take them off the market. When the vaccine mercury connection was uncovered, they did not take the mercury-containing vaccines off the market. Instead, they said, we will phase it out. Use up the supply you have now, and in 2 years, I think that was happened in 1999, in 2 years, they said, you'll have the new vaccines on the market that have, that will not have Tamiflu in them, but they're still selling it even today. Lots of doctors still have the old stock of vaccines in their office storage rooms, so they continue to use it.
And of course, instead of calling it back in, which they should have done, if they really cared about children, they've allowed it to continue to be used up just to run out the supply, because after all, we wouldn't want anybody to lose any money, would we? And how could people be so crass and indifferent to the human suffering that they've created? Now, are there other causes? Are there specific, perhaps genetic predispositions to this? In other words, would two children get a mercury-containing thimerosal shot, and one would get a reaction and the other wouldn't?
Well, there are vast, and I do mean vast, differences between individuals in the amount of mercury that they can tolerate with apparent immunity. I attended a conference once where one of the lecturers said that some people were susceptible to one ten thousandth as much mercury as other people could tolerate. And I said, did you say 1 in 10,000, as much? And the person said, yes. I subsequently ran across a reference which changes that number to 1 in 1,000,000. 1 millionth as much mercury as I may be able to tolerate may be impossible for you to tolerate. And that seems ridiculous. Unless you think of the allergy situation, where some people can eat a bushel basket full of peanuts with impunity, whereas someone else can eat one peanut and die as a result of it. The same with walnuts. A friend of mine had a college-aged daughter who was having salad at her sorority house, and she asked if there's walnuts in the salad. They said no. She ate the salad, and she died on the way to the hospital before the ambulance could get her to the emergency room. There's huge differences between people. Some people are extremely vulnerable to the mercury. Now, that is not surprising. Look at the situation with Vioxx. You know, an awful lot of people have taken Vioxx without dying, but it turns out that the drug companies knew for many years that, that thousands of people did die as a result of an adverse reaction to Vioxx and Celebrex and those other COX-2 inhibitors. Did they take them off the market? No, they did not. It's too profitable to keep selling them. That's exactly what's been happening with the mercury. Now that the Vioxx problem, the Celebrex problem, the Prozac problem have all surfaced, and the role of the FDA in helping the drug companies run the public has become public information, now people are less skeptical when people like me say that the mercury in the vaccines are what caused the autism.
All right, well now, what can we do for a child? What can we, how would we approach a child who is autistic and has all of this automatic reaction and withdrawing and inability from society, inability to communicate? How can we actually treat that child, and how would we go about doing it?
Well, there's no one single way of treating all the kids. They're all different. But there are several approaches which have been proven to be extremely effective. The most effective approach that I'm aware of is quite recently developed, at least the data are just recently available, and that is to chelate the children to get the mercury out of their system. We have a list of 77 different biomedical interventions, drugs, vitamins, diets, different kinds of things that people have reported as being helpful to their autistic children or harmful. And of all those 77 things, we have data from 23,000 parents, almost 24,000 actually parents, who rated all these different modalities. And the highest percentage of parents responding to any of those interventions is the number of the parents who say that the child was helped greatly by taking the mercury out of their bodies, heavy metal chelation.
All right, fine. And so heavy metal chelation, which would have to be done under medical supervision, well, are you suggesting the intravenous treatment, or are you suggesting some of the oral chelations?
Well, oral and transdermal.
Oral and transdermal.
Yeah, the transdermal is gaining a lot of ground. I spoke with a pharmacist about an hour ago who has been developing a special formula for, you know, just put it on the kid's skin along with DMSA. Other people want to use DMPS as the chelating agents. And that helps to get the mercury out of the child's system. It's also important to give the child certain nutritional support during that time. It's not that quite that simple. It's a procedure. In fact, at our website, which is www.autismresearchinstitute.com, all one word, autismresearchinstitute.com, we have a mercury chelation protocol for helping people and physicians figure out how to get rid of the mercury in their child's bodies. That's been up since 2001. It's really 2001. In about a month or so, we will have a 2005 edition, a revision of that protocol available free of charge for downloading. Or people can write to us at our institute, and we will send them for a cost of $3, which is much less than what it costs us, for a hard copy version of the mercury chelation protocol.
And I think it's so important that if you have a child or you know some child, somebody who has a child with this, there is a great deal of hope. In fact, your son is really doing very well today, isn't he?
We were told when he was 5 years old to institutionalize him as hopeless. He was not toilet trained until he was about 7 and a half, still in diapers. He did not ask or answer a question until he was about 7 and a half or 8 years old. And I continued to try the different kinds of treatments on him. This was before I was aware of the mercury connection. And now he's still living at home with us. He's not independent, but he has become an internationally recognized artist, of all things. He's been interviewed on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, etc. Has illustrated a book written by his sister. And is, as far as, you know, he's a happy individual, well-adjusted individual. We did not take their advice, the doctor's advice, to institutionalize him as a hopeless case. No child, no autistic child should be treated in that way. There are good methods available now for bringing about, if not recovery, recovery in some cases and enormous improvement in other cases.
Well, now you've talked about the influence of specific vitamins. What are the important vitamins, and how would the average parent be able to begin to approach this?
Well, we have a lot of information on our website. I just gave you the website address, or people that are not on the Internet, are welcome to write to us. Maybe I could give our address, which is...
You certainly may.
ARI, first, that's short for Autism Research Institute. We were established in 1967, so we're, by all odds, the longest-standing Autism Research Institute probably in the world, 1967. Anyway, ARI, 4182 Adams Avenue, A-D-A-M-S Avenue, San Diego, California. The zip is 92116. 4182 Adams Avenue, San Diego, California, 92116. Perhaps we can, I can just see people in your audience scrambling looking for a pencil.
We'll get it
out. And those that are driving are having an even tougher time. So maybe we can repeat this later on.
We certainly can, and I think it's so important that people understand that this is not a hopeless situation. Tremendous advances have been made, and the tragedy is that so many doctors do not know about this, and certainly they don't know about the mercury connection in the vaccines. Everything is done to conceal the truth from your doctor, from the pediatricians, and of course people who talk about this sort of thing are ridiculed, and there's absolutely nothing to no harm at all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they are harming our children. That's the tragedy. And remember, they left the mercury in the influenza vaccine. Why were they suggesting that we give it to our six-month-old children? Six-month-old, when we know that it produces Alzheimer's in full-grown adults who take it? Well, we'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest today.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs, in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Rimlin, and of course he's with the Autism Research Institute, and he's been at this for many, many years, and they certainly are the largest autism institute in the country. And you mentioned, of course, vitamins and minerals. Now, why should this make a difference? I mean, don't children get enough in the way of vitamins and minerals from their normal diets?
Well, the research that's been done on vitamins with autism have relatively little to do with the quality of the diet. Autistic children have metabolic defects. No one knows the cause. Mercury toxicity might be one of the causes. But half of all autistic children, 46% actually, show quite marked improvement when they're given very high doses, much higher than they possibly could get from their diet. A vitamin B6. also accompanied by the mineral magnesium. Magnesium is very short in everyone's diet, as you probably know. They're not megadoses. These are megadoses of vitamin B6 that they require, sometimes 1,000 milligrams a day, some kids require, whereas the so-called RDA, recommended daily allowance, is about 2 milligrams a day. So there's no way in the world you can get that much B6 from your diet. But there have been about 22 studies which have been done in 6 countries which show that high doses of vitamin B6 benefit about half of all autistic children. 11 of those studies were the gold standard of medical practice, medical research, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. And there's just no question whatever that the research supports the use of very high doses of vitamin B6. That information, the dosage level and the list of research studies, all those things are available on our website, which is www.autismresearchinstitute.com, all one word, or available from us by mail at 4182 Adams Avenue, San Diego, California, 92116. The address is ARI.
All right, fine. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What about vitamin C? Is there a place for vitamin C in the treatment of autism?
Yes, there certainly is. Only once a formal study has been done 15 years ago, and it showed that a group of autistic individuals, it wasn't a large study, but it was a significant result, given 8 grams a day, 8,000 milligrams a day of vitamin C, showed some very significant benefits. I personally take more than 8,000 myself and have for about 25 years or so. It sounds like a lot. The federal government recommends like anywhere from 30 to 60 milligrams a day. So 8,000 sounds like a lot, but it really isn't. There's no use trying to get into that detail now. But my good friend Linus Pauling, who is a wonderful chemist, the only person in history to win 2 unshared Nobel Prizes, was a very strong advocate, as most people know, of high doses of vitamin C.
And I think people have taken his recommendations why we wouldn't have as much heart disease and cancer and other things as we do today.
Absolutely true.
And that's one reason I believe why.
And he also would not get all these diseases that the vaccines are supposedly protecting you from.
Well, now, what about Dr. Wakefield's work over in Great Britain? Dr. Wakefield had suggested he felt that there was the diphtheria pertussis, not the DPT, but the measles vaccine, the MMR vaccine played a part in this, and that many of these children had actually residual, certainly a measles vaccine in their intestine, the lymphoid structure. Is there any part that you think this plays?
I have no doubt whatever that Andrew Wakefield, formerly of the Royal Free Hospital in London, the most prestigious hospital in the world, for which he was fired for telling the truth, Andrew Wakefield will go down in history as a remarkably honest and insightful individual.
That's really what happens to people many times who do come out and tell the truth, and of course there seems to be almost an organized effort to silence people telling the truth.
No, it's not almost an organized effort. It's a highly organized effort.
Right.
No, but very seriously, it's highly organized. The governments of both the UK and the US are deeply involved with the drug companies. You know, there's no question about it. They give... There are more drug company lobbyists in Washington than any other big lobby. The drug industry is the largest, most profitable industry, in which has all these lobbyists. And the news has come out lately, you know, showing that the FDA officials, NIH researchers, the journal editors, everyone is being influenced by bribes from these enormously powerful drug companies, including the British Medical Board and Medical Society.
Now we're going to have to hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Bernard Rivlin, and welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Bernard Remland of the Autism Research Institute, and we have Dale calling from Santa Cruz. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Dale. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good there. And, a question about fluoride. As we've been so blessed to be edified so well through Radio Liberty about fluoride recently, I'm wondering, is fluoride possibly a catalyst or anything else that's working in combination with mercury?
All right. Did you get the question, Dr. Remland?
Yes, I did. I don't know the answer to it. I do know that excess fluorides, particularly the kind of fluoride that is added to the water supply, not natural fluorides, but the artificial.
Now, that's hydrofluosilicic acid that they're putting in.
Yeah, the waste, the toxic waste from the
complete with
aluminum manufacturing process, that would have to be put in a toxic waste dump by law if it were not put into our drinking water. That has all kinds of toxic effects. There's no question about that, although I do not know what its relationship might be to autism.
All right, fine. Thanks so very much.
Sure.
Dale, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
One other question. You made mention of there's people that are leading the charge to keep this stuff on the market as far as including it in the drug inoculations, things like that. And is there any group, lobbyist, anybody in particular, or it's a blanket system, or how's it work?
All right, fine.
Yes, that is a good question. I think that it is extremely important to recognize that there are product liability issues involved here. An attorney, there are many parents in both the U.S. and the U.K. are suing the drug companies for putting this toxic, untested substance into the bloodstreams of children via the vaccines. And if it can be demonstrated in the court of law to the satisfaction of a jury that that's what caused the autism, the drug companies would be liable for literally billions of dollars of damages, because it costs several million dollars a year to take care of one severely autistic individual, unless that individual can be successfully treated, and most of them using present methods cannot be or will not be successfully treated. The one attorney who's involved in these drug this litigation against the vaccine manufacturers told me that the amount of money that the tobacco industry has had to pay out, hundreds of millions of dollars, to people who's, you know, who were damaged with smoking, with emphysema, lung cancer, etc., as their survivors, he said that will be trivial compared to the amount of damages that juries will award to the families whose lives were blighted and whose children were destroyed by the mercury. The mercury-containing vaccines.
Right. Is there the distant possibility that mercury is somehow included in cigarette tobacco?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so, Dale. Thanks so
okay,
much for
thank
your
call. You.
And, of course, let's go to Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie. Did you have a question for our guest today dealing with mercury or autism?
I had regarding reading an article. You were talking about how potent the pharmaceutical companies were.
Right.
And I was just reading the Monterey Herald, and they have an article regarding Viagra is supposedly supposed to block or reverse the enlargement of the heart. And I know it's a little deviated from what you're talking about, but does the doctor know anything about that?
No, I do not.
I'm afraid, but thanks very much. I think you're absolutely right, Jeannie, that the drug companies are really running both the leadership of both political parties. We know, for instance, that they included in the Office of Homeland Security legislation, tried to sneak it through Congress, a stipulation that the producers of thimerosal, which was Lilly, could not be sued. In other words, a federal law to give them special immunity from suit. And it was only when, of course, they found in this event, sneaked into the bill at the end of the day, in the middle of the night, and nobody knew about it. And what did it have to do with Homeland Security? Absolutely nothing. They wanted to sneak the legislation in to protect the drug companies, and fortunately, they didn't get away with it.
Well, the rationale that they used, and Bill Frist is considered to be responsible for trying to get that into the Homeland Security bill. The rationale they used was that if the drug companies are held liable for the damage that the vaccines do, then they will refuse to make vaccines that the armed forces supposedly need in order to protect them from anthrax and the other kinds of biological weapons that an enemy might use. I think that's a very poor excuse for allowing toxic stuff to be administered to children.
Amen to that. Hey, thank you so very much. Do you need anything else you want to ask?
No, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let me just comment real quickly. I don't know the answer to your question about the Viagra. The implication of her question was that someone has reported a supposedly, possibly beneficial effect of Viagra on the heart. I think that was the answer.
Right, I think
question.
So, right.
I would be extremely surprised if Viagra or any other synthetic drug confers more health benefits than the detrimental effects that it would convey. Almost every drug that has been put on the market, which is an artificial substance not normal to the body's economy, not a vitamin, a mineral, essential fatty acid, or a protein, or any of the normal things that the body has, every one of those things, looked at in the long run, turns out to have adverse effects, even though there might be some initially beneficial effects that were supposedly to be arrived at or achieved.
And I would simply point out it's a little off the subject, but as long as we got onto this, one reason, of course, the Viagra sales is so great is because so many men have sexual dysfunction. They have it because the fluoride effect loads lowers the testosterone level. The aspartame or NutraSweet lowers testosterone level. The non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications lower the testosterone level, at least as far as the sexual activity of animals that have been tested with it. And there's a great deal to suggest that the statin drug says that. Then if you believe in population control, this is a great advantage. If you believe, of course, in health, why, of course, these are terrible things that we're doing to the American people.
Well, so, you know, another angle that needs to be pointed out here, Dr. Doris Rapp, who would make a wonderful guest for you. Have you ever had Doris Rapp?
No, I never have.
Well, she is just a terrific lady. She used to run a medical practice in Buffalo, New York. She's since retired to Scottsdale. When she was on the Donahue Show a number of years ago, she was a guest for Donahue for years. Their switchboard would light up immediately when she got on, and I was told that they got a better reader response or listener response from her appearances on the show than anybody else. Anyway, she has written a number of books, Your Toxic World, or Is This Your Child's World, and so forth. She told me that the diapers, you know, these disposable diapers that are used for infants, so you don't have to wash them, you just throw them out, they have chemicals in them which keep ammonia from forming. It keeps down the bacteria count so they don't smell bad. But that ammonia seeps chemicals into the genital area of young boys and prevents their testicles from developing properly. And she believes that that's a major cause, the use of disposable diapers, which are wonderful for the profits of the companies, but terrible for the kids that they're put on, is a major cause of all kinds of sexual dysfunction.
Yeah, well, I think there are a lot of things that go on that we really don't understand, but I think that one thing leads to another to another, and maybe we better get back to a simpler form of life than we have today. Well, let's get back. We were talking a little earlier about Dr. Wakefield over in Great Britain and the relationship between the MMR vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, to the onset of autism. What's the relationship between that vaccine? Was there a thimerosal in that, or was there something else toxic in that vaccine that created so many complications?
No, there was no thimerosal in that particular vaccine. However, what happens is that the kids are given a whole series of vaccines that do contain thimerosal. The thimerosal has a very, very adverse effect on the mucosal membrane of the intestinal tract. It deteriorates the lining of the intestinal tract so that bacteria and substances which should be excreted from the body get into the body. The MMR vaccine is then given, and the MMR, or the measles in particular vaccine, lodges in the intestinal tract because the mucosal protective mucosal membrane has been breached by the mercury, and the immune system has also been greatly attenuated by the mercury, and then that allows the harmful substances in the diet to get into the child's bloodstream. It's a 1-2 punch. They give the kid a bunch of mercury-containing vaccines, which then makes him very vulnerable to the damage that the MMR vaccine produces.
Well, I think it's really such a tragedy. Now, what about some people talk about certain proteins or caseins or things of that sort that you should restrict in the diet of a child with autism? Is there any truth to that?
Yes, there certainly is. There's no question whatever, but that a great many autistic children do very well on the gluten-casein-free diet. Gluten is a protein in wheat, oats, and barley, and casein is found in dairy products, particularly cow's milk. And those proteins are supposed to be filtered out by the intestinal tract so that they don't get into the bloodstream. The leaks in the intestinal tract lining, which I mentioned, which can be caused, and in many instances are caused by the mercury, allows those molecules to get into the bloodstream and to get into the brain, and they are very similar to opioids and, you know, to drugs, hallucinogenic drugs in many ways, and those things get into the brain and cause the problems that are called autism in many kids. and putting them on a gluten casein-free diet can make a huge difference in lots of these kids.
Well, you know, it's the most amazing things. I mean, the average individual knows that the government keeps talking about, oh, the danger of the fish. You know, you shouldn't, pregnant women shouldn't eat fish because there's mercury in it. And, oh, we've got to outlaw mercury thermometers because one of them might drop and spill the mercury. And, oh, we've got to do away with mercury sphygmomanometers that they used to use in the hospitals, which I was raised with. I never saw a complication from them. But I suppose if one of them did drop and he got the mercury, that this could create a problem. But then, after all this supposed concern by our public health authorities, for years they've authorized giving those shots laden with toxic doses of mercury to children in the nursery. I mean, this is the most incredible thing in the world. How could you possibly do something that foolish unintentionally? But then most of the doctors I know are good people. They wouldn't intentionally hurt a child. But you just have to really question why these things go on and why the people who try to bring out the truth, like Dr. Wakefield, have their careers ruined for good. What's Dr. Wakefield doing now, do you know?
Yes, he cannot find an employment in England. He's been blackballed by the medical establishment for blowing the whistle on them. He's now in the U.S. and is establishing a sort of pediatric autism-based medical center in Austin, Texas. Oh, Thoughtful House.
Well, of course, England's loss is our gain because he obviously is a very courageous and very good doctor.
He's a marvelous man. There's no question about it. I have great, enormous respect for him.
Well, I think it takes a lot of courage to stand up against the medical pharmaceutical complex that is so powerful that it can destroy anybody's career in this country today.
Well, fortunately, I hate to put it this way, but fortunately, the expose of the Vioxx situation, where you know the FDA's whistleblowers were threatened with being fired. This is the guy David Graham, who gave congressional testimony about how his superiors were bound and determined to protect the drug companies. All that started to unravel, and there's now the public is becoming very keenly aware of the travesty of these medical companies, these drug companies influencing our public policy. I think that I would like to mention a book that is going to be published in a couple of months. It's called Evidence of Harm by David Kirby. It's a wonderful book. In fact, David Kirby is going to be the keynote speaker at our Defeat Autism Now conference, which will be held in Boston in mid-April. And David Kirby has this expose. He's a writer for the New York Times. And he has an expose of how the drug companies have been concealing all this information from the public. One of the mothers, he bases the story largely on the mother, on a mother called Lynn Redwood, who is a nurse. Her husband's a physician. She's a nurse in the Atlanta area, and she knew that she was very sensitive to mercury because she had been using a contact lens solution that contained a little bit of mercury, and she got big red streaks on her face where the mercury hit her. So she knew that she was sensitive to mercury. And they took, of course, they took the mercury out of that, out of the lens, contact lens solution. Then she read that the FDA had been required that the, or didn't require, they requested the drug companies to take the mercury of the vaccines. So she says, isn't that interesting? You know, I didn't know there was any mercury in the vaccines. And this was a nurse now. So she went to the, got her kids' records. She found, and she had noticed that her kid had been normal before he was vaccinated. So she went to her kid's records and found which vaccines he had been given, and she found that in one day, her child had been given 125 times as much mercury on a body weight basis as the Environmental Protection Agency considers safe.
And, of course, the doctors, especially in HMOs, are told, well, give all those shots in one day. That's a lot
cheaper.
Just get them all in and give them all, because then they don't have to come back again.
Yes, that's right. So they sell all that product, and the fact that they've given 125 times as much mercury in one day as the EPA considers safe is remarkable. Now, Congressman Dan Burton of Indianapolis has an autistic grandson who is perfectly normal until he was vaccinated. And so Dan Burton checked to see how much mercury his grandson had been given in one day. It turned out to be 40 times as much mercury as the EPA considered safe.
Well, I think
it's just turned autistic overnight.
I think it's criminal what's been going on. The public is not being told the truth. The doctors are being deceived, and they're deceiving the people. And you're going to have to get the facts, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to help us get it out. We have a great four-tape set on mercury. We're going to be putting together a four-tape set on autism. And, of course, we already have four-tape sets on vaccination. We've got Ken in Watsonville. We're just about out of time. Ken, what are your thoughts, quickly?
I wanted to mention, you mentioned Dr. Doris Rapp. She's got a new book that's to the printer and should be out in a couple of weeks, I was told. Can chemicals cause epidemics? I thought maybe it might be of interest to him.
I'm going to try to get her on a program. Thanks very much,
Ken.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's get that address and telephone number out just one more time, please. Dr. Emlyn?
Yes, we're at the Autism Research Institute, which is abbreviated ARI. Our address is ARI 4182, that's 4182 Adams Avenue, San Diego, California, 92116.
And of course,
we will provide a free parent package to anyone who writes to us. We would appreciate a donation to help us pay for our postage and printing and rent and all that, but we still send them out free. And a lot of that information, not all of it, is available at our website, which is www.autismresearchinstitute, all one word, .com.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Doctor.
My great pleasure.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me suggest we have the Kennedy assassination tapes. We also have a second Kennedy assassination four-tape set, including my interview with Madeleine Duncan Brown, who was Lyndon Johnson's mistress, and she tells about the meeting that she was at the evening before. She wasn't allowed into the inner sanctum, but Lyndon Johnson came out from the meeting and said, well, after tomorrow, those Kennedy boys aren't going to bother me anymore. And who was there? Y.J. Edgar Hoover, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, people from the CIA, people from the Mafia. It was all slam dunk, ladies and gentlemen, and they've lied to us ever since then. So that's the second four-tape set. There's other fascinating material in that four-tape set. We have the book entitled The Elite Serial Killers, written by Galen Ross, and, of course, in that he talks about the murder of JFK and RFK and LFK, LMK, MLK, Martin Luther King, and then Abraham Lincoln. Isn't it interesting that Saran, who shot Bobby Kennedy, was standing in front of him, but the shots killed Bobby Kennedy from behind. There were no shots in the front. It's just amazing about those magic bullets, isn't it? We've been lied to at every turn. We carry the book Killzone, the story of the assassination of President Kennedy, and then, of course, we have the book The Elite Serial Killers. We have the book Without Smoking Gun, the story of the strange death of a man who had witnessed the Kennedy assassination, and like so many others, he met a very, very strange death. We have the book Double Cross, written by the brother of the head of the Mafia, who tells how the Mafia was involved with the Kennedy assassination and with the CIA. They all worked together to kill an American president, and they were covered up by the controlled media here in the United States. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And when you do, you get the monthly newsletter, and you get the four best tapes of the month. But more than that, you're helping finance us as 5 hours every day on radio and 5 hours every day on Internet. and 4 hours every day on shortwave and 5 hours every day on satellite, we are able to reach out across America, across the world, with the information you're not going to get from Rush Limbaugh or from Bill O'Reilly or from Sean Hannity or from Brian Williams or from the new people who are going to be taking over in Tom Brokaw's place. I guess that's Brian Williams, but whoever's going to take over in Dan Rather's place. They're not telling us the truth. If you doubt that the media is controlled, you need to get the book, The Media Elite, and of course the new edition is The New Media Elite, written by the professor of journalism at the University of California. He's now emeritus. His name is Ben Bagdakian. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. The book is The New Media Monopoly. That's The New Media Monopoly. So, and of course you can get all the other books we've talked about by calling that number. You can go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, and you'll find the few items we carry. We do carry the Berkey products, and if you buy them through us, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video, one that we have produced, and we'll be glad to give that to you without charge. Just saying thank you for purchasing your Berkey, your Big Berkey, your Berkey Light through Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website and listen to our archive programs or our live programs at radioliberty.com. And then, of course, there are links or description of how you can hear our other programs on the Internet, so you can listen 5 hours a day and not get much accomplished, but you can listen 5 hours a day. And we actually have people who do that. They've actually set up speakers in various parts of the house so that are connected to the computer, and they can listen to those programs, or they have little earphones, or we even carry a little transmitter that you can put onto your computer, and then you can go any place in the house with an FM radio and listen to our program. So we encourage you not only to listen, but to get other people to listen. Encourage them to listen, because that's how we're reaching people, and our webs and our listener audience is growing. More and more people are learning the truth than ever before. So I'm actually more optimistic than I've been. I've been at this for over 42 years now, going on 43 years, and yet I see the audience growing. We never had the Internet before. We never had talk radio before. We never had the opportunity to reach the people with the truth. So don't get discouraged. They want to get you discouraged. Remember, we're fighting a spiritual battle. We're not required to win. We're required to do our best, and what are you doing to help get out the truth out about what's going on? If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, either by itself or with the video and the audio tape, and you can copy the video and the audio tape and circulate them. As long as you don't make a profit, you do it with our blessing. Then, of course, we, of course, hope you'll go to our website, and of course, you can get the list of all of the videos we have and that we've made or we carry, and the 4-tape sets we have, the books we have, and this will give you the background and the documentation for everything we say. How, from the very inception of communism, it was financed from the United States. Do you honestly think that Fidel Castro has been in power over 40 years and the CIA was just never able to assassinate him? And you read what they were talking about back in the early, in the 1970s when they had the congressional hearings, why the United States was going to embarrass Fidel Castro by putting powder in his shoes so that his beard would fall out. Oh, what a terrible thing. Or giving him an exploding cigar to embarrass him. If the CIA wanted to kill Fidel Castro, they would have. We created the best enemy money could buy, and we've kept him in power ever since. And why did we give Elian Gonzalez back? Have you ever wondered why? We pick up people trying to escape from Cuba by raft, and we send them back to jail to be tortured in Cuba today. We're doing everything we can to keep Fidel in power, but we can't tell the American people, pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until next tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.